Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word before us today is from the third chapter of Acts, verses 1 through 9. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on them with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Your fellow redeemed by the blood of God's own Son, there are images that all of us have from our childhood that we can scarcely get out of our minds. One of those pictures is of my father lying down on the couch before mom called supper, sometimes for 15 minutes, sometimes for a half hour. It wasn't because he was lazy. It was because he was tired. He worked 10 to 12 hour days, 5 days a week at the meatpacking plant, and he would come home and he would say, "I'm beat." And then he'd lie down on the couch before supper. There were also beatniks in those days. And they didn't lounge around and lie down on the college campuses and in the parks of our nation because they were tired from hard work. They were either high or they were low on drugs. They aren't called beatniks today, but there are still those who seek rest and peace and escape from the troubles of this life by alcohol and by drugs. People are always seeking rest and peace in this world. And their peace-seeking posture takes on a certain look. So what about the peace that Jesus speaks of from heaven when he says, "This is the world, the peace that the world does not know and cannot give"? What about the peace he's talking about when he says, "My peace I leave you, not as the world gives, give I unto you"? To his believing disciples, Jesus says this. Now this is the peace that Jesus left us, that he gives us. This is the peace that makes a Christian someone who can stand against all the troubles and the visiting of bad things in life, who can still hold his peace. He can stand the shock because he possesses a freedom from anxiety, which Paul says to the Philippians, and you heard earlier, is the peace that passes all understanding. The peace of Christ has its posture. When Jesus ascended into heaven, you remember he instructed his disciples to remain in Jerusalem until the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which took place 10 days later, and so they did. They waited in Jerusalem. They basically sat there on the promise of Christ to send the Holy Spirit. They were sitting on his promises, so to speak. And after the Spirit came, they continued to sit on the promise of Christ that he would return for them one day. They went about their daily callings in a restful peace, which filled their hearts with contentment and joy, and they showed this peace as they shared their fellowship and their friendship with one another. They ate regularly together. They fellowshipped together in their places of worship. They assisted one another in every way. And their peaceful resting enabled them to want to hear the teachings of the apostles often and to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. resting peacefully on the promises of God in Christ. They were constantly praying in their homes and in their places of worship. They were asking that God's name might be kept holy by them, and that his kingdom of gracious rule might come more and more to their hearts and throughout the world through the preaching of the gospel. They prayed that God's will might be done on earth as perfectly as it's done in heaven. They asked for the forgiveness of sins, their daily bread. They asked that God's kingdom would come upon them, that he would not let evil destroy them and their faith. In their peaceful posture, the early church praised their Father together with calmness, and they acknowledged together that to him belonged the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And in this they drew their strength to sit more in the promises of their Christ. And like us, these early Christians rested so calmly in their peace that they sometimes would fall asleep at night saying the Lord's Prayer. Have you ever done that? Can you relate to this peace of the early church? This peace that sat in the promises of Christ? Well, of course you can. It's that peace that you're sitting on that enables you to look at the news day after day and see what's happening in the world. You may wring your hands, but you don't pull out your hair. Sitting on the promises of Christ enables you to have confidence that your Lord will provide for you. You have an inner joy as you go about your daily work, and as you suffer disease, the threat of death, every trial that you meet. We know that one day soon Christ will come again, as he promised those disciples. And by the way, as he says in Revelation 7, 22, verse 7 and verse 20, I am coming quickly. We know he's coming. He's coming any moment to take us away. Take us to himself in that painless, tearless, joy-filled heaven he calls home. And so we carry on day after day, and we pray and we hear God's word, and we raise our families and we pursue our callings. And in spite of all the stress that fills our lives, we carry on in peace because we're resting on the promises of the faithful one, the one who is true, our Lord Jesus Christ. But then our peace takes on another posture. While we're going about our daily business, we also stand up and become peacemakers, don't we? We don't just sit on the peace of Christ only to continue sitting. Beatniks do that. Spiritual beatniks do that. But not confessing Christians. We don't sit on the promises in order to remain sitting. A couple of weeks ago, six or seven men, after two or three hours of hard work, sat down under the shade of the teacherage. The only reason they sat down in the shade for 20 minutes was so that they could get up and work again together. They weren't beatniks. Neither are we. John and Peter also needed a rest so that they could keep on working. Sitting on the promises of God, going about their daily affairs, they went up to the temple to pray. They were taking care of their business, so to speak. But on this particular day, the Lord laid in front of them a lame man, a man lame from his birth. He was always being carried and laid at the gate of the temple so that he might beg. So this was an ongoing thing. And when the lame man saw Peter and John, he asked them for alms or money for the poor. That's what the lame did. What else could they do? And then Peter fixed his eyes on the lame beggar. He didn't look off into space somewhere. He looked at him right in the eyes. And John also eyeballed him, got his attention. And then Peter gave a strange sounding command. He said, look at us. And when the beggar looked at them with the hope of receiving something from them, Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And then Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now, several of you have today small children who are learning to walk by crawling first. This man never learned to walk. He was lame from birth. There is no way that this was anything except a miracle of God's grace. Not unlike the miracle of faith. For there is no one born of woman who can walk spiritually without the gospel peace of Christ, without converting of the heart. We were unable to walk in peace with God because we sat in the condemnation of our sins. We were morally and spiritually crippled, even unto death. And so it is with everyone who is in this dying world. Unless the gospel of Christ comes along and works the healing of peace through forgiveness in Jesus' name. From time to time, just as he did with Peter and John, the Lord permits us to give what we received first. John and Peter were permitted to give of their spirit power to heal. In the same way, we are privileged by the grace of God, as you just sang in the previous hymn. We are privileged by that grace to also give to others the saving power of the gospel of peace. This is a power that you have been given to give. This is the peace that you not only sit on, but you stand on it. You stand up and you share it. Our places of work, our neighborhoods, our families are full of spiritual beggars, and you know as well as I do, all you have to do is go and look at the lottery lines. All you have to do is look at what's on TV. And you realize that people every day are carried away by their own lame desires, and they are laid at some gate that the world thinks is beautiful. And there they are laid with the hope that they're going to get something from someone that's going to make their life better. There are those who would like to have the bounty of others. Some because they can't work, others because although they can work, they don't want to work. They want the bounty of others. There are those who think that what other people have, if they only had it, would take care of all of their trouble, all of their sorrow, would bring them peace and rest in life. And so they too are thrown at this beautiful gate, like the lame beggar was. And they are deceived. As you go about your daily affairs, sitting on the promises of peace in Christ, you may see and you may visit with these spiritually lame beggars. And then you just go on about your business, because we're all busy. We're so busy, we're frantic with getting everything done. And you see these people in every walk of life, and you go by them because you're about your business. Just like Peter and John were. Course, they'd probably seen this fellow before. But on that particular afternoon, God put that man in front of them. It was God's time for them to stand on the promises of God. Your time is going to come. These people that you visit, that you speak with, they too will need this peace. And there'll come a time, by the grace of God, when you'll stand on the promises of Christ and you will speak to them. You will give them the one thing they need above all else. Pray that someone who is in need will ask you for money, advice, maybe directions, food. And then pray that you are given the grace to stand in the promises of God, to be a peacemaker, so that some other soul may find Christ and have life in his name. The most obvious posture of Christ's peace is wonderfully demonstrated in verse 8. Look what happened. Immediately upon being healed, the restored beggar was leaping up, standing and walking with Peter and John to the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. This is what we pray for. This is what we work for here in our church. This is what we hope for. That the people who have heard the promises of peace through us will also learn to stand and to walk with us in the worship of the true God who has saved their souls. We want to see them walking in praise to God with us. Nothing but the peace of Christ poured into the hearts of sinners by the Holy Spirit can cause sinners to walk together in the worship of God with one mind and one mouth. Only the peace of Christ accomplishes that. Few things bring us more heavenly joy on earth than to share this peace and posture with others, so that they may also worship and glorify our God, whom we know to be our Savior. And we rejoice that they have also learned the same and want to praise him with us. So David wrote in Psalm 122, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" So sitting and standing and walking, this is a dynamic picture of the dynamic peace that the gospel has worked in our hearts. This peace that we sit on, that gives us so much comfort, that lifts us from our anxieties in life, is meant to be shared. It's a dynamic thing. If it's real for us, we're not just sitting on those promises of peace, we're standing on them. And then also others will walk with us in them and worship with us. Now you should notice that we've been talking about sitting and standing and walking. There's no mention of lying down or sleeping with regard to this posture of peace in Christ. And that's because the day is going to come for all of us when Christ comes for us quickly, when we're going to rest in peace. But this isn't the day. We will indeed rest in peace by the grace of God through Jesus Christ and the peace he has brought to our souls. But now is no time for lying down or sleeping. Amen. Now may this peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and thoughts from every anxiety because of Jesus Christ, your Savior. Amen.